Hello and welcome to the ARCOP podcast for August 2025 with me, James Jenkins, Head of Customer Development, and Matt Cook, ARCOP General Manager. Okay, and we're live. Matt, good to talk to you again. How have you been?
I like how you, I'm doing great, thank you. I like how you say and because, or I mean again rather, because this is our second attempt at this podcast.
Well, it's your prerogative to raise it. Everybody may be thinking, what's this about? So we did have a little, we needed more glasses of water on the last one, didn't we? I think, Matt, we tried.
We did.
You had a bit of
We
a
did.
cough. So you
Yeah,
hope you're
just to
feeling
clear
better
it up,
now.
I we so we gave it a shot and I started talking and was unable to continue. So I have since recovered, gotten a bunch of sleep, and now I'm feeling 100%.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Yeah, we could have published it as was, but I think it would have would have been a bit too much coughing. So yeah, we persevere. So I think topics, Matt, on for the agenda for this podcast. I think yeah, in the newsletter, obviously we've got all the stats, scorecard information, but there's a big date looming on October 28th, an exciting date where we have a smart rule set going live. So I thought we could talk about that. Data science and RAN 06 is always just interesting. I think, you know, what's your view of data science? Why the score's so important? And then, yeah, maybe we can touch upon some what's happening around merchants. And we're seeing a big uptick in volumes in Ireland and the US. And maybe talk a bit about what's behind that. And then summit reminder, 14th and 16th of October, Dublin and in London. Register if you need details, speak to your CSM. But if we have time permitting, Matt, where we can touch upon those. I thought what we'd start with is about 2 years ago, you were recommending people look at into this new thing called ChatGPT. And it was really quite interesting just how now it's taken the world by storm. And this may become a regular feature. Maybe people will tell us otherwise. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk about, you know, each month, how are you using AI in any specific examples? So I'll start. And I say this in the context of I think people are now really starting to understand this technology. They're using it every day. And so as you understand it more, then you can start to apply it to payments and rule writing and all those kind of things, because it becomes real and it becomes tangible. And one of the things that I've been using it for, if I may, is take a picture of your house or take a picture of a room and then ask the AI to remodel it. And it's just phenomenal. And then once you, and I did this at the weekend, actually, I showed somebody else. And I could just see it was almost like the money was draining from his bank balance as he was looking at it. He was like, "This is going to cost me a lot of money." But it is just absolutely fantastic technology, and I use it all the time for different scenarios. So maybe next month I'll share another example, and maybe we keep each other honest, Matt, and pursue each other. We'll have a kind of a bit of a game to see who can get the most out of all this technology. But anything you're using it for?
Well, yeah, I think. There's a couple of things. One, first thing is fascinating that general purpose search is now just I've just default to an LLM now. I don't do web searches really anymore. Sometimes I do when it's very targeted and I'm looking for something that I know is on the internet. But if I'm just looking for answers, I no longer go to search for that. I use the LLMs. But that's just on a day to day. What I found one of the most interesting uses I've found recently is my son. And who's in high school, which is, you know, he's 17 years old for those not on the US school system. And, you know, I know everyone's mind is immediately jumping to how is he using it to cheat in all of his courses. But this is a much different use case. Actually, it's the inverse, which is how he's using it to learn. And he's got a really interesting, he's got a standard prompt that he uses, which is, I would like to learn about the following, and you can plug in whatever that may be. It could be U.S. history, it could be economics, it could be anything. And it said, please create a series of questions that test my knowledge. I'm a junior in high school, which is 17-year-old curriculum. You know, and this is the area of study that I'm currently undertaking. And ask me questions until one at a time, and then I will answer. And based upon my answer, you give me a quick explanation. And if I get it right, make the next question harder. If I get it wrong, make the next question a little bit easier. And he goes through this one at a time. And the learning actually is, it really sticks. It really becomes this interactive, self-correcting learning module that can help you learn almost anything, almost anything. It's a really encouraging thought as you think about how, rather than the doomsdayers about how AI is ruining our children, actually how it could be helping them gain new skills and new knowledge and things that they can use to build a better foundation so they can go do more incredible things in the future. So that's the one I'm most jazzed up about right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like having a like your personal tutor, top of their
Yep.
game, one-to-one, always available.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you say, even in the last what few weeks, I think it's moved from like to your point, using AI to cheat and create papers. But actually, yeah, if you do that, you're missing the opportunity because you're not learning, and you can use this technology to learn. Yeah, it's fascinating. As a father of two, yeah, it's very interesting. So. Very good. Now, unfortunately, I hate to start with unfortunately, that bad actors can use this technology as well, which is maybe a good segue into like smart rule set. Now, we know that this is happening, and we spoke about an earlier podcast that the idea of using static rules, obviously we have the variable in the data science score RAN 06 now, as we know. But then the policies of them being static and being really built in isolation on one bank's portfolios, we're urging, and I think people can now understand why, issuers to lean increasingly on us to manage those rules on their behalf. And we're grown up to realize that this may be a kind of a build up, right? So we'll implement smart rules and then allow issuers to kind of remove some of their rules and we fill the gap. But we are planning to go live with our smart rule set across the platform on October 28th. There's details in the newsletter, but from your perspective, Matt, what's happening on the 28th and what should issuers do to be ready?
Well, first I'll say this is the feature that I'm most excited about since I've been involved at Archon, and that's now 6 years. So in the last 6 years, this is the thing I'm most excited about on the product front. And the reason is that this is how an authentication network should behave and should perform, is by taking a bunch of data and training a learning models onto on this on that amount of data, and then making decisions in milliseconds based upon the appropriate path for authentication, and that is based upon the perceived risk of the transaction. And so the reason that I'm most excited, and the reason that I think that we are finding so much success in terms of stopping more fraud than our customers are currently doing so. And we think this feature, in some cases, is a multi-million dollar return as soon as we turn it on for some of our largest customers, is because we've had 20 years of transactions coming in, and we've been training our risk scoring engines to learn what is valid and what is a legitimate transaction and what is a fraudulent transaction for 20 years on billions and billions and billions of transactions. So when you do that, if you have an effective learning models, which I think that we do, machine learning models, then you get really smart over time, and the engine just keeps getting smarter and smarter and smarter. And now that we're able to take that risk score and couple it with smart rule set, which is just a series of algorithms routing transactions based upon perceived risk, it's really powerful. And the results are really, really good for most, if not all, of our customers. And so what we're doing on the 28th is we are enabling this feature. And we're doing it in such a way that can be scoped by our customers. If we recognize that when technology is being used in regulated environments, and especially in banking and card issuing, that some people want to start smaller. We get it. We recommend that you go just right in and do it and turn it on, because the results that we've seen while running this in passive mode over the last, I guess now, man, we're approaching 10 to 11 months of this running in passive mode. And so we've collected a lot of data, and I'm telling you, it works. And but we have it set up so that customers can choose their own journey, and they can start small and grow into it, or they can just take the step and turn it on. I think it's a really exciting feature, and I think it's going to change the return that our customers get from their investment in Archon.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, if we're honest with ourselves and look, as issuers, and look at the rule set that we have, that's been built up. There's some very, very good rule sets out there. They're a little outdated, can I be as polite as that? That if you really did a rules audit, you would remove a significant number of them in most cases, and you'd reorder them. And really, that's what we're talking about doing, is leaning on us and our expertise, using real-time data from across the network, but also getting a perspective not just from Bank A, but from across the network, and with all that merchant perspective as well. And yeah, if I was an issuer, I would definitely want to lean on Arcot and the resources and the skills that we have to help that, particularly, to bring it back to AI, with just the sheer number and the sophistication of fraud attacks that are coming down. And to your point, we still allow issuers, of course, to put their own rules in and so those to be the priority. But turn it on. It's going to be turned on October the 28th, and then work with your CSM and the whole team here at Arcot. Start removing those duplicate rules, because there will be duplicate, right? There'll be, if X, then challenge. There'll be policy different engine, and then we'll be transparent with the smart rule set about what's in there, and then lean increasingly on us. And like, to your point, this really is an ROI exercise. And we've seen the numbers, and it works. The additional fraud savings that are being cut out with no increase in challenge, we're talking millions of dollars for most of the big banks. And we work, as we know, primarily with large banks. So leaving money on the table.
I mean, one thing I'll say that's pretty cool is, like you said, there are good rule sets out there. We actually have trained the smart rule set on the current rule sets. So when you think about that, it's like you are actually learning the technology in the smart rule set approach has learned from what worked and what didn't work in the customer manual static rule sets, whatever you want to call it. So we've taken the best of that world and incorporated it into smart rule set, and then also allowed smart rule set itself to learn and determine what the best path for these transactions is. So I think it's a pretty solid foundation, I'll say. I'll say it that way.
Yeah, fantastic. I think very soon we'll have, if we don't have already, banks will be willing to stand up and say, we implement the smart rule set. These are the results that we got, and this is definitely best practice going forward. It's a bit like when we released the model. People were skeptical about using a score in conjunction with rules, and now it's just the default position. Of course, you would use it. So.
Whether or not people talk is one thing, but I'll tell you that the we have double digit issuers live on Smart Rule Set, and it's working. So, and it's been working for months. So, I feel like we're in a pretty good spot, and feels like we've the early adoption risk has been kind of taken out of the system. So, we're ready to go and can't wait for the date.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, next on the list, so Rano 6, and then just data science in general. I was having a conversation with a large bank in the US who's considering moving to our platform. They'll remain nameless. And one of the things they were talking about was the importance of the score, and then leveraging other scores, from like Visa and MasterCard, and also their own score in kind of like an aggregated view, right? And we use this analogy of everyone's got a piece of the picture, but no one really has got the whole picture. Has to be combined. So any comments from you, Matt, on the importance of data science and the score, obviously in conjunction with smart rule set?
Yeah, I mean, it's the brain of our system, of our authentication network. So the brains are the risk score and risk scoring models and the machine learning models that we have in place. And this concept of synthetic scoring has been around for a while. We've built our score in such a way that, well, we do see some of the scheme-based scores that come in on the 3DS transaction data fields. So we can do a couple of things. One is we've been able to evaluate the efficacy of the accuracy of our score against those scores and feel pretty confident that we continue to outperform those other scores in the area of fraud detection. So that's good. And if we were to see that incorporating those scores into our models actually yielded a better, more accurate risk score, we would do so. But so far, that work we've done to look at that has not yielded that outcome. It's that the Arcot risk scoring engine actually performs better without the presence of the scheme-based scores. So that's point one. Now, the other side of that is, could the Arcot score be used in conjunction by customers with other scores? And absolutely, we have an API endpoint that's available to our customers that is just transaction risk scoring as a service. And so if you were to want to get the risk score for a given transaction and use it in conjunction with another proprietary model, and risk scoring engine. Absolutely. Yeah, it's available today. So I think that would be a very good use of the ERCOT score.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, all about bringing it together. Okay, very good. And then before we kind of drop into the summits, I did want to talk about merchant adoption. And we're seeing volumes rise in Ireland and in the US. And it's interesting, some of the feedback we've had around Ireland has been, you know, what's happening? Why are volumes increasing? And really, it's why are volumes no longer down, I would describe it as, because the volumes were, you know, moving at X rate, then they dropped as a large merchant decided that they wanted to use a direct to authorization exemption, which I think on balance, you know, was understandable, but didn't give the best results. So now it's kind of those volumes have come back. So I think, you know, we all welcome that additional data. We think it's going to drive additional performance at a high level. And then on the US, where we've seen data only turned on, when volumes have risen, and we've got a number of merchants waiting in the wings, I think, to turn it on. So we do think US volumes are going to, which it would be great because we've been talking about it for a while. But the US 3DS being broken, only high risk for a number of merchants' transactions being sent, is not the way to leverage 3DS. So it's great to see now data only kind of filling that void. And the issue is we're speaking to, I think, have been very positive about the additional volume, the additional data, not least because it means they can spot more fraud. Right. It's like we've said that it's hard to manage fraud if you're only seeing the high risk transactions. And it was great to hear directly from a, you know, from a big issuer, stroke processor, in the US, that by seeing that additional context, they could spot a lot more fraud. I mean, it's got like in the 30, 40% additional fraud on this particular merchant. I mean, it's phenomenal. So what, I mean, what's your take on, I mean, I think we know why this is happening, but we did have a long conversation about why this works, why merchants are driving it. Do you think it's broadly, do you agree with that kind of hypothesis that it's broadly beneficial to issuers and any kind of context of what you think is going to happen next?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way to think about it is it's just a simple question is if you were able to receive more data points, could you make better decisions as it relates to fraud? And if you really boil it down, more data points, does it yield better decisions? It's hard to believe that not to be true. It's just hard to believe that in receiving less data will yield better results. So when you think about that, it's like, okay, if it is indeed true that more data fields and more data points will lead to better decisions, which I think is the general direction of the world over the last couple
Yeah.
decades, is yeah, you should be sending more stuff through authentication because you're able to pass more data fields on the message than you can on just the authorization stream. That's just a fact. And so, you know, the future, I believe, of fraud detection is how do you send more transactions through authentication without the downside of friction, right? It's the friction which has prevented people from sending data in the first place. But if now you're saying and a lot of this data only flows, like the 06 in the US RCI code or the 05 in Ireland and the UK and other PSD2 regions, you're able to now send the data, merchant maintains fraud liability, so issuer can be a little bit more trusting of the transaction because the merchant themselves is maintaining the liability for fraud. Then how can you not, why would you not want all the data you can possibly get so that you can make the best possible decision? And that's the way we're thinking of it, is that our job as a provider of an authentication network is that that authentication network is the most effective it can possibly be at eliminating false declines and, you know, stopping all the fraudulent transactions. Those are our two North Stars, is how do we drive approval rates or minimize false declines, and how do we do it without allowing fraud through? And if we can do that in a way where there's not friction, but there's more data, so you can make better results and you actually let more of the good stuff through and stop more of the bad stuff, that's our mission in life. And I think that that's what's starting to happen in the market, is that the market is also saying, yeah, that makes sense. If I give you more data, can you approve more legitimate stuff and can you stop the bad stuff? And I think that what we're seeing now are the early shoots of bit large merchant adoption of these data-only flows on 3DS. And I think that it makes everything better and it makes everybody smarter. And I do believe that those results will speak for themselves. And I think that we're going to see more of this in the future.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think if you, for a while, there were two paths available to merchants. One was direct authorization, you get poor decline, poor approval rates. The other was traditional 3DS, right, where you get friction and challenge. And so it's a rock and a hard place. But now we have this kind of third way, which is you can leverage 3DS, but you can also leverage data only to send signal and share the data. And then, like to your point, if you're an issuer, wouldn't you want to see that additional data and use it in your fraud and risk platform for decisioning? And that allows you to spot more fraud and ideally dial down the friction and the decline rates as well. And I think that we were trying to figure this out, but the path now I think is very clear and it's really gaining momentum. And I think that shows out in the performance that we're seeing, the Square case study, and yeah, merchants lining up. So yeah, we do appreciate all the merchant conversations as well as with the issuers who are signing up and optimizing their rules. And I think that's the direction of travel. That's probably going to be the big focus for us, I think, for what the next probably 6 to 12 months is optimizing everything and including that, right, is Core is going to be the smart rule set as well that's going to harness a
Yeah,
lot of this data. So,
agreed. I'm agreed.
very good. Okay, last call out. So we have the summits coming up. Any anything you're particularly looking forward to, Matt?
I'm looking forward to seeing everybody again. This has been a year since our last one. So it's always good to see familiar faces in the crowd, as well as some new ones. I hope we get a bunch of new ones. I think that what we're trying to foster is a discussion amongst merchants, schemes, issuers around 3D Secure, what's working, what's not working, trends to be aware of. We will do whatever we can to just present data. We try not to be in selling mode during these events. It's more of a sharing what's working and not working discussion. So that's the way that we're thinking about it and the framework we have going into it. I think it'll be pretty interesting. I think it'll be good. We'll have spent some time going through. We have some case studies that people will take us through, and it'll always be good to have a cocktail at the end and say hello to everybody.
They're always very interesting and a lot of fun, and we always come away with a ton of actions and interesting context. So, again, if you haven't registered or need an invite, speak to your CSM or CSM or reach out to Matt and I directly, and we'll make sure we'll get that to you. So, excellent. Well, I think that's it then, Matt. Appreciate your time. We're all glad you're feeling better, and
Not as
we'll
glad as
pick
I
this
am.
up
Not as glad as I am.
and we'll pick this up again in September. Looking forward
Great.
to it. Thanks again. Take care.